The Burt Show.
So, Jeff, you haven't been in here when we've been talking about Farmville.
I don't want to be a part of it.
Why? Why not?
Because Burt sent me a text message during my retirement. And
your sabbatical?
Yeah. And he said, we were going back and forth about something most likely related to that. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, call me after dinner and stay humble with this. I received more complaints in the past hour about making fun of Farmville than I have about you not being part of the show. And I thought that was funny. So I sent a tweet out that I said, just heard from Burt, and more people are mad at them making fun of Farmville than mad at me losing my edge or something like that. And I seriously had people either tweet back or write me and say, don't even, you know what, I was going to forgive you because you weren't there, but don't even hop on the making fun of Farmville bandwagon because I checked and you don't even play. So I'm going to send you some roosters and then you'll get started. Or some
I have
crap
had to hide people on my Facebook page because all I was getting from them all the time was Farmville crap.
Their news feeds? Your news feed is being filled with all Farmville updates?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This has had the exact opposite effect on what I wanted it to, and that was a couple of days ago. I was saying I was getting invitation after invitation from people inviting me and us to play on Farmville. And I just straight up wanted to say, I just don't have the time. I don't want to do it. So mm-hmm. please stop bugging me about Farmville. And since I said that, the requests have more than tripled.
Are you serious?
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's a personal challenge.
It?
You know, it's like I'm a Farmville virgin.
Ugh.
And somebody wants to take my virginity. So it's been one after the other, after the other, after the other. And somebody pointed me to a couple of different links on YouTube from people that claim that they are addicted to Farmville. Like we've had some on that say they'll wake up at 1:30 in the morning. Jeff, they're setting their alarms like 2:15 in the morning.
I've heard about people doing this to feed their animals or whatever,
so
right?
They can like harvest their crops or something like that.
Water their plants or something. Yeah.
So I would just like to say that the game Farmville on Facebook is the most addicting game I have ever played in my entire life. I am on it hours out of the day. I set an alarm last... It is 1:32 right now in the morning on a Saturday.
That is ridiculous.
So Saturdays to Sunday. I am a teenager. I don't want my parents to find out that I'm playing Farmville at 1 in the morning. I stay up and play Farmville. I have to check my farms. I can't let my stuff wither away. I sit there for hours harvesting my crops, deleting crops so I can add more buildings and decorations and all that crap. And it's a serious problem. I advise you, stay away from Farmville or you'll get addicted.
You know, we were talking earlier this morning about the minutes that you could rack up, like on your deathbed when you look back on the wasted time that you had in life watching reality TV shows. How about the Farmville people? There are 80 million
of
them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think anything that takes over your life like that and you stop participating in real life because you're participating in a game.
Got to harvest my crops.
Check yourself. Because remember, we talked about the World of Warcraft people and all that kind of stuff. It just takes over.
There are 80 million people on Farmville.
Is anyone else addicted to Farmville? I just find it so addictive. I have gotten a lot of coins. I mean, I could buy a barn, but I just don't want to because I want to buy the cottage. But I have 60,000, but I have to wait till I get to level 19, and right now I'm at level 13. I am addicted to Farmville. I have this other friend, and they've been just a little bit ahead of me, and now I'm literally this far behind them. And when I update my Farmville at exactly 2:15, they're not going to see what hit them.
All right, I can only find one anti-Farmville video.
Okay.
And the dude in the video looks like that 13-year-old that you used to go to school with that was way too mature, like had the full-on beard and the zits and all that,
oh,
but he
yeah.
was only like 13 years old.
Yeah, he was probably shaving. His dad was shaving him every night.
Yes.
He couldn't use the razor himself.
Like, this is Chewbacca right here.
Guess what? My mini feed has been by Farmville. That's right. It's been in the and all over the place. Because you know what? I don't really give about Farmville. It's all over. I feel like all of my friends want me to join Farmville, I'm so sick of it. You don't even know. Okay, first of all, what is so great about breeding like cyber pixel pets and farms? Like, what? Farm animals, whatever. I don't care. Gardening is boring in the first place. But the fact of the matter is that you're taking time out of your daily life to grow cyber plants, which is even more boring than growing plants themselves. I mean, what the is wrong with you people? I mean, really, like, what? And I don't even say you people. I think that sounds so uneducated. But I mean, like, what the what is so great about Farmville? Please, Farmville, go away. I don't like you. So many people don't like you. Please leave.
It really does seem like almost like a Simpsons parody that the whole world is playing a game of farming.
Mm-hmm.
When planting stuff is probably the most boring thing you could do in your real life, that people are all excited about it online.
It makes...
Do you think real farmers are offended?
Probably.
Like, oh, you think it's so easy to harvest crops. You just click a couple of buttons.
Oh, yeah, you got to get up at 2 in the morning to go to sit at your computer. I have to get up 2 in the morning to go birth a calf.
Right.
Hey, Katrina, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Bert Show. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment. I don't play Farmville, but I do play Cafe World and Tiki Farm and Sorority Life. And those games are very addicting. I literally stay on my computer from sunup to sundown. I mean, I don't go to bed till after midnight, knowing I have to be up at 7 in the morning. And as soon as I wake up, I turn on the computer and play again. As soon as I get to work, I'm playing. It's really addicting.
And what are the two games that you're playing?
I play Cafe World, Sorority Life, and Tiki Farm is a new game, and it's like Farmville where you have to harvest your crops, but it's kind of like a Hawaiian island, but you have to harvest your crops, and the things grow in real time, so you actually have to time when they're, like, be ready to, like, the cafe where you have to take food off the stove and harvest your crops and Tiki Farm, so it's really addicting. I could be at the store, and I actually will run home to go, because I might have to remember that I need to harvest a crop or
that
take food off the stove.
That's crazy.
Yeah, let's back up for one second and focus on this sorority thing you're talking
about. Yeah.
What's that one all about?
Let's
sorority
do that.
World?
What's the sorority life?
Sorority life, it's like a collection of, like, people can get on there to kind of chat, and it's mostly about, like, clothing and doing socializing events. They have something like on-campus, off-campus events, vacation events. And basically, you can fight other rival sorority houses. And that's the most addicting part, because when you fight someone, you can take money from them. So, and the most money you can win in a fight is $70,000, and that kind of gives you a high when you kind of beat people and take all their money.
Definitely the different kind of sorority life than I would have programmed.
You were hoping for some more pillow fights
for sure.
In there? That's funny.
William, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Love y'all.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, what it is I used to be a truck driver, and they were playing while they're in their truck. They'll get on the CB saying, y'all are in here, we'll buddy up and play it religiously.
So truck drivers would play Farmville on the road?
Well, no. What they'll do is they'll get laid over. Like, I was down in Miami, and I got laid over 2 days because I had a load of cabbage, and I was in the truck stop, and they were getting on the CB saying, man, this is great, you know, if y'all aboard, you know. Go to Farmville and do their thing. I got into the Warcraft.
All right, now, William, help me out here. So, did you have a real truck with real cabbage in it?
No. I drove an 18-wheeler, you know, what they call a refrigerated trailer that had a load of cabbage, and Kroger was one of the places that I went to, and they when they offload your truck, they literally... put it straight into the stores, and I had to wait because there was two trucks in front of me.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so in between Lot Lizards, those guys are playing.
they literally just stay in those truck stops and play that.
Gotcha. Thank you, sir.
Wow. Wow.
I got lost
one
there.
One question too many.
The Bert Show. Hey, The Bert Show.
Joanna Rodriguez is back.
Joanna!
What's up, Joe Rowe?
I mean, I'm a little hesitant to talk about this because I just don't want people to judge me and think that I'm like...
It's too late for that.
Honey, you're on the radio.
Yeah.
It comes with the territory.
It's a little bit like being on the reality TV show and saying, I want to try to keep my private life private.
Yeah.
You're on the radio. People are going to judge you.
People will judge you.
They just judged you on you saying that you didn't want to be judged.
Mm-hmm. It's over.
It's not so much a judging as it is just a critique.
Okay. That's a nice way to put
it.
That sounds much better.
Yeah. What did you call it a couple of years ago? We weren't criticizing, we were evaluating.
Yeah.
They're just evaluating your material.
Yeah, we're just evaluating your situation. We're not judging it.
Okay. Well, evaluate, if you will, my situation with...
Oh my God, you're a skank.
So, okay, Jason has a really big group of friends.
And for those of you that don't know, Jason is the not fiance.
The not fiance.
The boyfriend.
Exactly.
Of 2 years.
And he has a really great big group of friends, and he still keeps in touch with them. Well, one friend in particular has a fiance who is just perfect. Perfect in every way, shape, and form.
You've talked about this girl before.
Yeah, I have. This is the girl that we wouldn't invite to go rafting because she's too pretty, and all my friends would be too intimidated to wear a bathing suit around her.
All right. When you say all my friends would be intimidated, were you the one that spearheaded the charge to keep her out of that group?
No, I wouldn't say I was at the head of I wasn't the leader, but I definitely took place in that parade.
You got on board.
Somebody suggested she's not invited on that trip, and you just sort of ran with that.
It was just, if she goes, I'm not going, and so, and I want my friends to be there. Hmm. Well, my thing with her
is... she not a nice person?
No, that's the thing. Like, she's so sweet. When I say she's perfect, I'm talking about she's funny, she's sweet, she's beautiful, she's everything that I'm not. I'm not going to say I'm not a pretty girl, but this girl is like supermodel beautiful. She's tall. I'm not tall. She's blonde. I'm not blonde.
She's sweet.
She's sweet. I'm not sweet.
Oh, yeah.
She has a great career, and I'm not saying I don't have a great career, but I'm just getting started in my career. She's in the middle of it. And
in a crappy industry. But go with it. You're doing fine.
Yeah, I'm great. So, and she's engaged. I'm not engaged. And, it's just...
So this girl intimidates you.
Intimidates the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. And I just don't... I'm just really hesitant. We're going snowboarding with them this weekend. We're staying at her apartment. I'm just really not looking forward to this weekend at all. And I hate saying that because it sounds so superficial and
Why don't you make
ridiculous.
Her your best friend?
Huh?
Make her your best friend.
I don't want to make her my best friend.
Why would Joanna have a best friend that would outshine Joanna? You don't do that.
Why not?
Because you just don't.
I do.
Joanna. I think Joanna feels like she's constantly being compared to her.
It's not that I'm comparing myself. I'm comparing myself because...
Do you do that always with other women?
No, I think with her, I just feel like she hits me in my biggest insecurities, which is... her overall she hits my
You offend me because you're you.
Yes.
Do you know a lot about her, like personality wise?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I know as far as like she's a nice person and she's very funny. She cracks me up all the time, which is horrible because I'm the funny one, not her.
So she's got looks and humor on you.
Yes.
Damn.
And height.
Wow.
And
I
height.
Mean, it's just. Flawless. I cannot express you how flawless this girl is.
I'm just confused where the competition comes in. Because if for some reason you guys were going on a girls' weekend and you guys were going to all go out and try to hook up, like I might understand being intimidated because all the guys are going to like her or want to get her number or whatever it is. But you guys are on a couples' weekend. She's engaged to one of Jason's friends. You're about to be engaged to Jason in the next 2 years at least.
Allegedly.
I'm just kidding. In the next couple of months or whatever it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about like two couples that should be on very level playing field that can form a friendship. And this may be somebody that's in your life for a really long time. Mm-hmm. If you and Jason get married and he's really close to this guy, like, I don't understand where the competition factor comes in because Jason loves you. He wants to marry you. His friend is in love with her. She wants to marry Jason's friend. She's not after your guy. I don't understand where the competition comes in.
I don't
in.
Understand either. It's just this weird competition that I have in my head.
I know where it comes from.
Where?
Let me answer that question as Joanna. Okay, here's the problem. See, you know what? All right, this girl is perfect. She's so perfect. And I'm Joanna. I'm the star of the show. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go, it's me. Like, look at how cute I am. Like, when I have my hair long, people are like, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. When I cut my hair short, people are like, oh, my God, look how good you look with short hair. Look at me. Look at everything about me. God, I am funny. People like me. People are supposed to be intimidated by me. And now I go there, and this girl is getting attention. She's pretty, and she's funny. Like, I mean, I hung out with Michelle, and Michelle was really pretty, and she was really tall, but she wasn't funny. I mean, I let her think she was. That way she would stay around. But she wasn't. This girl, I don't have any control over. She's with a guy who I don't, like, I can't kick her out because it's Jason's friend. It's not my friend. I usually kick out people who are better than me.
Are you nervous that you're not going to be the center of attention and she is?
No, not at
Liar.
All. No, honestly, that
Liar.
Is not my thing.
Oh, my God. Honestly, yes, it is.
No, I'm just telling you. She hits on in my insecurities, which is she's tall. She's blonde. She has a great career. She's engaged. Like, all the things that are just not, I mean.
She's got it all.
She's got it all.
But she could be looking at you the same way, hitting on you. You're short. You're cute. You've got brown hair, beautiful eyes. You're naturally pretty. You've mm-hmm. got a great relationship.
She got a natural rack, or she have to buy hers, too?
She purchased hers, too.
All right.
So she could be in the same situation as you are.
But hers costs more. Hey, Mark, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey guys, I love your show.
Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, it just seems like, you know, you're projecting all of your on this girl.
Oh,
I mean, like,
hey,
people with straight,
I
got it.
People with straight hair want curly hair. People with mm-hmm. curly hair want straight hair. You know, maybe this girl wants to be more like you, and you're mm-hmm. preventing this friendship, you know, with all of your insecurities.
That's exactly what Wendy was saying there, except she didn't use the S-bomb.
I try not to curse on the radio.
I think it's funny that dude, he never even realized he cussed on the radio. He just kept going.
Just went for it.
But I think if you just got to know her and maybe started that sort of bond and just get to feel her out, she may have the same type of insecurities and you might find that out.
Seek out her flaws?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, everybody has their own flaws and their own insecurities. So if you dig deeper and get to know her a little bit better, then maybe you'll figure that out.
You need to find her weak point. Her flaw.
And
totally
then press on it.
Right, and work on her.
Find her flaws and expose them on the radio.
Yes. I think you just got to let it go.
Yes.
I
know.
And you know what? It doesn't help that like my group of friends feel the same way I do about this girl. And we're constantly like, she's mm-hmm. perfect. There's no way you're going to compete with the perfection that
is her.
But see,
where, what's it? What's a competition? Who are you competing with? And why? What for? What are you competing for?
I don't know.
To being the best in the whole wide world at whatever?
I
don't know.
I am the princess.
That doesn't
I am the greatest
sense.
Girl ever to leave the country of Mexico.
Have you never met another girl that you're just like, wow, that girl just really has everything. She's so perfect. And like, it's not that I'm competing with her. It's just that
I think that perfection thing is dangerous because she's not perfect. She's a human being just like you are. And she's probably mm-hmm. got all kinds of insecurities and things she's not sure about just like you are. But you're sort of putting her on this pedestal and you're sort of creating this mock competition that doesn't exist.
Did you used
like,
to do
there
that?
There are other women in the world mm-hmm. that like you can say are amazing and talented and beautiful. That doesn't take away from what you are.
Is this something that you've had to work on? Because you certainly speak freely about it.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody
no,
does.
I mean, I don't think that I've... I don't think I've had to work
the
on
perfection
that.
Perfection thing?
Wendy has.
Oh, I mean, I compare myself to other people, and you want to be as good as the next girl and a go-getter and the best of the best. And I can see where Joanna's insecurity plays in. You just want to be as good as the next girl, and if not greater than
at
the next
what?
Girl.
At what's any, the competition?
Everything.
Like, inside of a competition, I can get that, right? Like, if you're both going for the same job, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Wendy, you're up for a new job with somebody else. Yes, mm-hmm. I get the fierce competition, sizing her up, whatever, because there's a goal, right? There's mm-hmm. something that you're in both in competition for, or for a guy, or for a whatever else. I understand there's inherent competition there, but what mm-hmm. Joanna's talking about is just life, like who's winning in life, like, and that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
But don't you think that's what we do with celebrities though? We're constantly comparing ourselves to a celebrity, and the difference is like we see a beautiful celebrity mm-hmm. and we're like, oh well, like Megan Fox, we think she's beautiful, we think she's perfect, oh but she's got that tattoo on her arm that knocks her down. We're always trying to knock the celebrity down so that we feel not as inferior to them. And that's kind of like, she, to me, like, I haven't found anything to knock her down with yet.
But why do you have to?
I don't know. I do that with celebrities, too, though. I think all females do that.
So knocking some, the only way to make you feel better about you, then, is by knocking somebody else down.
In my own head.
Okay.
I guess.
I think if you can change the way that you think about it and realize there's room for everybody to be awesome and beautiful and cool and smart and all of the things that you're intimidated by her about and that you are those same things... Like, I think you'll feel better than you will if you knock her down.
If I hear you clearly, what you're saying is you don't mind that there are other women that are beautiful, have great senses of humor, have a great job. You just don't want them to have a sense of humor that's better than yours better looking than you and have a better job than you. You want to be top tier.
I mean, I guess that's my personality, is that I want to be the best and the best out there. I don't think I'm not pretty. I just think she's prettier.
Do you have a picture of her?
She, you can see her on my Facebook.
Okay.
I would like to see this.
I could see that.
I want to see this flawless woman. Show us the flawless woman.
Yes.
Bring me this flawless woman. But I do think that it is, it's really honest that I think a lot of women compete with other women.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know they're in competition
I'm
with
so
them.
I'm so glad I'm a dude. I'm going to hug my testicles later today.
Save that.
Save that.
Can we get that? I can't even fathom me.
If you're not too tired afterwards, you could do that to me too.
The Bird Show. Get it? The Bird Show.
So I think I sort of stopped talking/dating this one guy because he was too nice. Mm. And like the door's still kind of open that I could go back, but I don't think I want to just because he is overly nice. Like,
can we define what overly nice is?
Okay,
Let's talk about too nice with examples.
Too nice would be if I wanted to go somewhere, if I wanted something, he'd be like, let me get that for you or let me do that for you. Just kind of being a pushover, sort of. Does that make any
like
sense?
He would go out like, of his way, like go out of his way. Like if you said you need something at Home Depot, he's like, oh, there's a Home Depot right down the street.
Right. My sister was in town, wanted to go to a basketball game. And I was like, it'd be really fun to take my sister this basketball game. I don't know if I have time. He's like, I'll get tickets for it.
I'll do it.
And he got tickets for it, which is really sweet and nice, but you didn't have to. I mean, it's just overly giving stuff to me that I don't really deserve.
Maybe one of those. Well, you do deserve nice things.
Right.
But maybe like one of those things is a really nice gesture, but it's when it's like over and over again. It's overkill.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this guy's sort of like. So I kind of had to stop talking to him, texting him, anything.
Was he a good looking dude? Were
yeah.
you physically attracted to him?
Yes. Yeah, kind of.
He wasn't that good looking because when he was that good looking, then, oh my God, he's the sweetest guy ever. My sister wanted to go. Here are the two conversations.
That's just exactly going to be my point.
Yeah, good. Ugly guy. Oh my God, he's just so annoying.
Not ugly.
Yeah, he is. Ugly guy. Oh my God, my sister wanted to go to a basketball game, so he totally went out and he got her tickets. And I was like, dude, you don't have to spend money on me. Good looking guy. Oh my God, you guys. I don't want to jinx it, but this guy is so. Sweet. My sister just casually mentioned she wanted to go to a basketball game, and he actually chartered a plane. The Hawks were actually playing in Boston, and so he chartered a plane. We flew into Boston. We stayed at there's a Four Seasons there. It's so nice. It's right there on Newbury Street. It's beautiful.
Well,
and
with your example, he would be rich and hot.
Right.
And nice.
No, he totally
extended himself.
Yeah, he used up his debit card and then went to the emergency-only visa that Mom gave him. And maxed it out, and oh my God, I know he went overboard, but he's just so sweet.
So like doesn't it boil down to like attraction? Like if you thought this dude was really hot, that could be interpreted as really a gesture of, I mean, being really sweet and caring and considerate.
Well, it's nice and caring, and I appreciate everything, but I think when you just give something, there's nothing to really work for. Like, you feel like you sort of need to earn something, or I don't know how to put it into words.
Like, he didn't have any game.
Right.
Right? There wasn't really a challenge there.
I could just have it.
So dudes are listening and they're hearing mixed messages because women constantly say, I'm looking for a guy that doesn't play games. Just be real with me. So a guy is real and now you're saying play games.
When it's so over the top like that, you feel like it could be towards anyone. Like that you're not necessarily like special. Like if they dated anyone at this moment, they would be going like overboard because there's this sort of like desperation sense or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't make it feel like a special because I don't know. There's
you feel like they could do it for any person that they're dating.
Disingenuous about it a little bit, right?
Yeah, and it's just pushover. I want to kind of like earn something and work for something or have something to like go after rather than just have it all there in front of me.
And you want them to be like confident and have their own life going on and not like, you know, obsessed with your life.
Hey, Anthony, good morning. You're part of the Bird Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
How you doing?
All right.
How's the situation?
What's up?
Yeah, I get that all the time.
Too nice?
About people telling me that I'm too nice.
What kind of things have you done like where you feel like you've made the mistakes?
Oh, I try to cater to everyone. Just be polite. You know, if they want to do something, I do it. And I get all the women all the time telling me that I need to be less nice.
Didn't when we talked about this before, when both y'all were dating nice guys, wasn't the word that kept coming up backbone? Like if a dude doesn't show a backbone.
Well, you kind of want a man's man, somebody, like, you want a guy. You don't want someone just to be like your girlfriend. Like, you're one of your best friends.
Well, it's like
It's like when guys want a girl, but you want to go chase after them, and you don't want the one that's available right away. You want the one that's harder to pursue. It's the same as girls. Girls want to do a little bit of the work and a little bit of the challenge, too. We just don't want it right there all the time.
So you are saying, you are endorsing playing games.
A little bit at the beginning. You kind of have to in order to establish something.
Save that. That's going to come back.
Hey, Amy, good morning. You're on Q100.
I completely agree with what she's saying about you don't want guys that will run and do anything in the world for you because it's like they're just trying to buy you.
So is there any point at the relationship that you want that? Like, let's say you get through the game playing phase, right? Then all of a sudden, do you want a guy that's going to like be there for you all the time? Or should he maintain what he showed you initially?
Well, I mean, he needs to be there for you, but that doesn't mean every time you say I want something to go buy it, because then it's kind of like, well, is he just trying to buy me or is there something there? I mean, if they just keep trying to buy your affection, what's it worth?
What's that, Jen?
I've never dated a guy like that, like the buying thing.
Like, buys you everything?
Like, if you mention you want something and then they go buy it for you? I've never experienced
that. Well, that's how this kind of was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd mention one thing and then it would be there.
I think that's really considerate guy.
It's a two eagerness. I want to date him. That's the right words for it. It's a two eagerness. Like, you want somebody to enjoy spending time with you and be thoughtful and nice when you're with them, but not being, like, too overly eager about it. There's some sort of desperation in that. And you guys would say the same thing about a girl. Mm-hmm. Like, if she was too eager to, you know, to spend time with you or text you back immediately or call you back immediately or like always available at your beck and call or whatever. It's too eager. You want a girl to be like, yeah, I can't do it right now, but maybe later. Or, you know, you want them to have their own life going on, their own confidence level and that kind of thing. Like, you can smell it a mile away.
Have you guys seen the movie All About Steve?
No.
Sandra Bullock.
Uh-uh.
And that Brandon Cooper dude that you love so much?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, yeah. You should go check that out. That's exactly what this is all about.
Really?
Uh-huh. Hey, Nikki, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to say, I love Wendy, love Jen, but I think that you guys are way off on this one because this is probably why you're single. Please don't take it the wrong way. But I've had girlfriends that... 5 years later, 2 years later, they talk about the one guy, you know, he was really sweet to me, but they took it as weakness. And, you know, when you get to an age where you're not in high school, some people just don't want to play games. Some guys are tired of being single. He's like, you know what? I'm going to put it all out there. That's who I am, and it's either you like it or you don't. I just think sometimes we read more into it. If you're not into the person, then you're going to nitpick at every little thing, particularly him being too nice.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, though, there is a little bit of game playing with any relationship you get involved in, and that's normal, and that's just how it goes. That's how relationships work, and that's how they start. But when you just put everything out and show all your cards in the beginning, there's nothing to figure out.
Hey, Lauren, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think that Bert made a very intuitive comment 15 minutes ago.
Well, that's why you're on the radio.
He said that people desire a certain thing at a certain time, and I think that once you've been through enough guys that are total jerks and who don't do anything for you, you think, I wonder if maybe having that guy that did a lot for me really meant something.
Like,
in comparison to all these other guys.
Yeah, I wonder if you work through a whole bunch of these tool dudes, if you look back at the ticket getting guy and you're like, man, that might have been the one that got away.
Well, I've been through a couple of tools. So, I mean, I would like a nice guy.
She's got a whole toolbox at home.
Nice guys are awesome.
Nice guys are great.
Gotta have like the
game. They still have to have a little bit of aggressiveness and a little bit of game playing going on. That's just how life is, and that's what people want. Whether you're a guy, girl,
a confidence.
Whatever.
It's about a confidence level and not being over eager. If he could balance that out with
That'd
the thoughtful
awesome.
Things, you'd be still into him.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
You're on The Burt Show. Listen, it's The Burt Show.
So Wendy revealed to us yesterday she was dating this nice guy. She sort of dumped him because he was too nice.
Yeah, I mean, too nice in the way, like, pushover nice. Like, anything I said that I wanted, I could have. If I said I wanted to go to this game, he would get us tickets just out of random, which is really nice. But sometimes you just don't want to see someone's full deck of cards, you want to kind of have the game and some sort of mystery and something to figure out. Because I think when you learn too much too fast, there's just nothing to look forward to.
And I think Jeff and I determined yesterday that the too nice guy that Wendy dumped, she probably wasn't physically attracted to, because the conversation is very different. If he's totally hot and he goes out and he gets you tickets to a game that you barely even mention to him, and he's really hot and you're attracted to him, all of a sudden he's this hot, sweet guy. But since you're not physically attracted to him, he's sort of too nice.
No, he was definitely a cute guy and we had fun when we went. But I mean, it was just too much, too fast.
Too available.
Too available and not anything to look forward to besides the same thing, the same thing, the same thing.
Unless he looked like the situation from Jersey Shore. Then you're like, well, I look forward to his abs.
Right. Now, Joanna, your not fiance is a really nice guy.
Jason is a typical, very nice guy. And actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when we first started dating, we went out with when I first met him, I was with a good friend of mine, and she happened to mention that her favorite band at the time, or her favorite music artist, was Feist. And this was when Feist was really big. On our very first date, Jason says that he bought me and my friend and him tickets to go see Feist.
That's first awesome.
On our very first date. And he, because he heard it in conversation. Well, I couldn't go because I already had plans. But because Jason's a good looking guy, I was like, this guy is so sweet. Now, had he been so-so or mediocre, I don't think I would have thought that was as sweet.
It's a little creepy then. If you're not as attracted and he's that aggressive about it, then it's a little creepy.
Yeah,
right?
I hate to say that. I hate to say that, but I think it's true.
I think it is too, man.
Everything was great. I went on the first date and it was amazing and over the top, which was awesome. And I had a good time and I gave him another chance and another chance and another chance. And it just became overwhelmingly too much.
All right, so let's assume that you're going out with a guy that's a fairly decent guy and you're attracted to him. This is probably for guys more than it is for women here, because here's the definition, okay? And Blaine Batchelor did a great job on this article. I think this is from a couple of years ago in Sunday Paper. And she defines what a truly nice guy is from a guy that's too nice, all right?
Okay.
The truly nice guy treats everyone, his parents, the waiter, the woman he dates, and most importantly, himself, with respect. He radiates confidence, he leads a rich, satisfying life, and is eager to share it with his romantic interest. As a result, he attracts similarly stable, confident women and sustains healthy, fulfilling relationships. By contrast, the too nice guy, like the aforementioned, simply treats everyone all the time to drinks, dinners, you name it, because he's always eager to please, even at the sake of his own needs or bank account. He oozes insecurity. He might have a life, but more often than not, he needs to get one. As a result, he never attracts stable, confident women for the long term and chalks up his failed relationships to women's skewed mentalities.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, confidence is a pretty big key in that, and I think uber eagerness and too nice of a guy definitely goes hand in hand.
So the too nice guy is basically saying, this isn't on me. I'm such a nice guy. This is on insecure women because they're not ready for a guy like me. Whereas the truly nice guy is just nice to everybody all the time, and he's not going out of his way. He's not acting. That's what he really is.
Right, because he's just truly a nice
guy. Nice guy. Here are some more characteristics of the truly nice guy versus the too nice guy. Truly nice guys don't feel the need to advertise their outstanding character. Too nice guys wear their nice guy title as a badge of martyrdom.
How do they do that then? I wonder what's an example of wearing it as a badge.
As martyrdom. So when the woman isn't attracted to him, they wear it like, I'm such a nice guy. Oh. That's why women won't date me.
I think you're right.
They all think I'm their brother.
Right.
Right. I'm always in the friend zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly nice guys appreciate the objects of their desire. Too nice guys worship them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is a big difference.
Say it again.
Truly nice guys appreciate the objects of their desire, and too nice guys worship them.
Gotcha. Too much.
The object of desire being the woman.
Right. Truly nice guys never pretend to be someone they're not just for the sake of getting the girl. By contrast, too nice guys, when they're frustrated about their lack of romantic success, threaten to become a bad boy and treat women like rubbish in hopes of changing their fortunes.
Rubbish.
It's the first American woman ever actually to use that word.
Rubbish.
You know what she's trying to say there?
Well, yeah, I don't even think uber nice guys are capable of being anything bad, because they just want to please all the time and that's all they do. So I don't know if they're
Like, you can't even act like it because it's such a foreign concept.
You can try, but I don't think it truly comes off as a bad boy.
And I think what she's saying there, too, is two nice guys, maybe it's not being genuine, and they want to just flip it, you know?
Maybe.
But the real nice guy, it's just a genuine niceness, mm-hmm. and they would never think about flipping it because that's just who they are.
And to a point where he won't get walked on, where the too nice guy gets walked on all the time.
And then gets frustrated with it.
Right. A truly nice guy looks for a woman who will respect him, subconsciously or not. Too nice guy looks for a woman who will control him.
Oh, that's a good one.
Why is that?
I could see that because of insecurity, maybe, and lack of confidence. So they woman can more easily control them than they can her.
They're looking for somebody to tell them what to do.
Right.
Truly nice guys never waste their time chasing mindless arm candy catchers. Two nice guys, however, shower them with drinks, dinners, and diamonds, only to watch these predators slink away to their next two nice guy target when they're restless and ready for another ego stroke or free ride, which is a little bit what you saw with the ticket dude.
Yeah, I mean, anything you want. They're easy to please. I mean, that's about it.
He wants to buy your love.
Mm-hmm.
On the wings of love.
Truly nice guys are fundamentally happy with themselves. Too nice guys are fundamentally insecure.
I would agree with that.
Yep.
Because it is. It's a fundamental difference. I mean, I think that if you're too nice, you're insecure, and you're overdoing these things to sort of make up for your insecurity. If you're truly nice, then it's just who you are. Mm-hmm. It's just genuinely who you are. And you're going to be that way to the coworker in the office. You're going to be that way to, you know, the people that are your next door neighbors. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be that way to the people that you date.
Right. And that's what she was
not
saying.
Not just to the girls that you date and then you treat other people differently.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yep. And truly nice guys never finish last. Two nice guys who endlessly mope and whine about never getting the girls include the scores of available truly nice ones who are also out there in the dating race, always lose.
One more time again?
Basically saying that the truly nice guy never finished last and the two nice guys always finish last.
Because they sort of...
They're just trying too hard.
Taps into that insecurity again.
Right.
They think, oh, I'm always in the friend zone. Oh, I never get the girl that I want. Well, guess what? So that's what you put out there. That's what you get back, right?
Is this an age thing, too? Like, if you're in your 20s and you're still sort of part of the new dating scene, does this apply more to that scene than it would, like, if you're in your late 30s? Because at that point, aren't you done playing more games than you would be in your 20s? And you're, like, ready just for a genuine nice guy. I've been screwed around on my whole life. I've dated tools. I got a whole toolbox of tools, like Wendy said yesterday. And now you're just ready for some guy that's authentic and just nice.
Maybe. I mean, I guess as you get older, you want someone genuine. But I think guys still try hard now to be that way, to be just nice and not overly nice. But... I don't know.
I think there is a difference in what you're looking for, depending on your age. Yeah.
And then also
men and women.
I guess it depends on the person, too.
I mean, I would like to think that Jason just kind of happened. I wasn't really looking or not looking. And then I'm not going to lie, it did take me a little while to, like, at first I was like, God, he's just so nice. I don't know if I deserve this. You know, he's just so sweet. And then you have to just let yourself, like, let him... treat you because you do deserve it. But you need to figure out if this guy is genuinely nice or if he's trying too hard to be.
You think your
nice.
Next boyfriend it'll be easier for him to win your love?
I'm going to ignore him.
Good morning, Q100.
That's funny. Good morning.
Hi, I'm avoiding trying to pronounce your name.
Latte?
Yes, Latte. How are you?
I'm good.
What's up?
Well, I have a comment about the too nice guy versus the truly nice guy.
Okay.
Well, okay, I've had both. Like, I've never been attracted to the bad boys. That's just not my thing. I don't like games. I don't like lying. I can't do that. So, but, like, I like nice guys. But, like, I had a too nice guy that we were together for, like, 2 years, broke up. He just didn't want to be friends. And he begged me to get back with him up until, like, 2 months ago, you know, 3 years later. And he was telling me, oh, I'll change myself for you. I'll do this. I'll do that. You know, I'll buy you this. And matter of fact, like, we lived on different coasts. He lived in Washington State. I live in Atlanta now. And he was like, I'll come down to Atlanta and all this. And I was like, I tried to explain to him, you need someone who's going to compliment you, not someone who you're going to completely change for. It was just too much.
Too available.
Yeah, you're like, have a backbone, dude.
That's not confidence.
Show a little self-respect.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the email that we got months and months and months ago? And it was from a guy that was confused in his marriage because his wife was basically daring him to go out and cheat on her.
Yeah, I do remember
kind
that.
Kind of, yeah.
And she was basically saying he couldn't do it. She gave him like 24 hours. She's like, I dare you. Go out. Have an affair on me. Go, go, go.
He had 1 weekend to do it.
He had 1 weekend to do it.
That's right.
And it's the same type situation. I think he's shown no backbone his entire life with her.
Right.
And she's finally like, show me a little something.
Something.
Cheat on me, man. Go and cheat on
that
me.
That was bizarre.
Anything.
It was. All right, last call. Hey, Lisa, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, I think you hit the nail on the head when you were talking about age, because my husband, we started dating when we were like 30, 31, and he's a truly, truly nice guy. But he even has told me when he was in his 20s, women didn't want to date him for very long because he was too nice. But then once he started hitting like 28, 29, he said it totally changed.
Let me ask you this. If you would have met him when you were 22 years old,
nope, we'd had that talk, too. I dated a guy in my 20s that was a complete jerk. I probably wouldn't have appreciated my husband as much. So, yeah, I probably wouldn't have gone out with him.
So it's probably
I might have once or twice, but...
And then dumped him, and you would have lost out on your future husband.
I know. But when you're 21, 22, you don't really think about that.
Well, I still
you just want to go party and have fun and all that.
And I still think at 24, I do want a truly nice guy, but I don't want somebody I can run all over either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want somebody I can take advantage of. I want someone to stick up for themselves.
Dude with some backbone.
This is the